All right, Morgan Riley is going to call in about 5 minutes, assuming his connection will align with ours, because you knew this was coming, Noodles. Here we go. It's 4 o'clock. O's been trying to connect on his Atari machine, wherever he is. I don't know if he's back in Toronto, if he's in Collingwood, or what's going on.
Is it attached to his barbecue?
I don't know. That's the thing. I knew it was happening at one point. It was just he's just not going to be on, and there's nothing we can really do about it. But
I got to be honest. I fired up the queue. I mean,
did you? Nice. Oh,
well, I mean, it's 11:30 this morning. The sun's out, and you know we're not getting that much fresh air. Like you just go for a walk around your, you know, neighborhood, or go get the mail. You know, stay away from everyone. And the kids wanted hot dogs, so I said, you know what, the hell with it. I'll put some hot dogs on the queue, and then I doubled down with the burgers. I had connected early, and then I had the timer set up perfectly so that I just finished the burgers, put them in the oven to cover it up with tin foil, so they'll be ready to roll for everyone.
And, oh, so it was a pre-barbecue is what you're saying. You barbecued for later, basically.
Well, what I did, okay, so hot dogs.
That's
I did
a tough
for,
move, man. That's a tough move.
Well, for lunch for the kids, I did hot dogs already. But for dinner, I did burgers. So I'm going to eat at 7 o'clock. I have no problem with that. But, you know, you've got two young kids are not going to wait till 7. They're going to eat at 5 o'clock. Those burgers are done and waiting for them right now. Like, I just did the pre-barbecue for the family because I said, you know what, it's nice. I'm out there in a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's supposed to be very nice the next 3 or 4 days, which is a good thing as long as, again, we continue to practice social distancing. But I as long as you're not feverish, as long as you're not sick, as long as you haven't traveled anywhere in the past 2 weeks, I think getting out for a walk or getting into your backyard, again, social distancing is the priority. That's the catchphrase of all catchphrases right now. But as long as you make sure that you practice that, getting outside has to be a priority. Like we can't just be cooped up in our homes for months and months and months. And today is a beautiful day. I hadn't really thought of the barbecue move. I might have to pull that off. I guess I'm just surprised, like, why can't Steph go out there and barbecue at 5?
Oh, you want a house fire?
Why can't that happen?
Do you want it to be on CP24 that house in Kleinberg burnt to the ground?
Well, you wouldn't get much attention right now. People would be like, "You're on your own." If Steph blows up a barbecue, you know.
Well, I don't want to out her too bad, but I called her. You know, she's upstairs working. I called her from out on the deck and said, "You may have to take these burgers home. I, they may not be done." I had a timer, and they were set basically for 3:55. And you know what her response was? I don't know how to do that. She goes, "I'm like,
wow, that is disturbing information."
She's like, I don't, you know, like usually now
a couple
I will
flips
say
in a plate. You can't plate a couple of burgers off the barbecue and turn it off. I mean that. What's happening over there?
This lady can run a radio station. She can be a great, great mother. All of the above, but you know what? Burgers and the barbecue, I don't think are her forte. So that's fine because
fine.
It runs in that. Like her family, her parents, and that are amazing cooks. So you know, it may have just skipped a generation. That's what it is.
Well, this seems like a perfect opportunity for Steph and others to develop hobbies or life lessons, and firing up the barbecue. I wouldn't say it's a requisite. You know, you certainly don't need barbecue skills to survive, but it can't hurt. It can't hurt to know how to fire up the barbecue. And I get it. If it's not your thing, it can be a little bit intimidating. I mean, we're dealing with fire here. I understand that.
Yeah, but it's controlled fire. It's not
of course
like
it is.
It's not like it's an open fire and you've got gasoline and matches and you're like, okay, like this isn't. We don't have a primitive barbecue over here where it's like, you know what, there's a pit out there in the backyard. Like, good luck.
Yeah,
like,
it's not an episode of Survivor in your backyard.
No, it doesn't have a disclaimer. Like, you turn it on. There's a button you can start, like, to start the barbecue, and then away you go. Like, you're not out there trying to cure cancer or anything. You're trying to just fire up a barbecue. These are moves where, I mean, you went to college, right? Like
I did, but there's no barbecue 101, man. I mean, you're not learning how to use a barbecue.
No, but you're learning how to use a crock pot or what. Listen, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You got a growl on because you've been out late drinking all night.
Right.
You fire up the crock pot for mac and cheese or something. You will find a way to cook.
Believe you get creative. Yeah, you got no money, but you got time and you're a slob. You know,
exactly.
And you're hungry and you're hungover or you're buckled and you get creative. Basically, that's the way it works.
I've been there.
Yeah. Well, we have we got a Maple Leaf on the line here. We haven't caught up with Morgan Riley in a long time. And I guess Morgan was doing a conference call earlier today and he was claiming that his cooking is starting to heat up here.
Nice.
Like that's what he's working on. And he joins us now. Here's Morgan Riley. Can you confirm or deny that your cooking skills have improved over the past couple of weeks, or what?
I can confirm that, and I'd just like to circle back and just ask you guys what you were just talking about, because I just got the tail end of it.
Okay, basically, I mean, I fired up the barbecue today because it's like T-shirt weather. So I said,
yeah.
You know what? But I had to hit the clock because we're on live at 4 o'clock. So
yeah.
I said to my wife, you know, with about 10 minutes left, can you take these burgers home because they may not hit the clock? She said to me, she goes, I'm not doing that. I don't want to mess with that. I've never cooked burgers on the barbecue. And I said, like, you know, it's a life skill. And believe me, she's amazing at a lot of things. But apparently the barbecue, it didn't go well. So I had to battle to get on air live at 4.
Oh, well, I appreciate you making that sacrifice for us. but I think that I'll take your side. I think that the barbecue is about as straightforward as it gets when it comes to cooking.
Yeah,
I think she's
intimidated by the barbecue, basically. There's no intimidation by a controlled, like, gas line barbecue.
Like I was saying, it's not a fire pit in the backyard with matches and gasoline and go have at it. You know, it was a controlled situation. But you know what? I'll respect the fact that she said it's not my wheelhouse. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm on your side still, but I think that if you're uncomfortable with it, you stay away from it. That's like me and a whole lot of other things in the kitchen. But
well, what's your go-to right now? I mean, is there one dish where it's like, okay, it's a big night, it's quarantine day 28, and we're gonna really spice it up with a big meal? What's your go-to?
I don't really have a go-to. I think that just been doing a lot of steak and chicken on the barbecue. You made some pasta last night, so I'm just trying to expand my menu, that's all.
Okay. Yeah, that works. I saw a video today. James Harden was walking through, I think, a Walmart or a Target. I think he's in Houston. He might be back in L.A. People are just handing him stuff to sign. It's actually hilarious. Like,
yeah,
right off the rack.
Crazy.
People are just grabbing stuff, and they're like, I guess I got to buy this now because I got Harden to sign it. But I was thinking, like, in a time like now, how I don't even know if you're getting outside of the house at all, and social distancing and all that is important, but how would you handle an autograph request right now?
Yeah, I guess to answer the first part, I've been at home pretty much as much as I can be, and I think in terms of the autograph stuff, even when we went to California there before the pause in the season, we said as players that without, I don't think we're going to do anything in the hotel. Jamie, you know, there's always people out front and stuff. We said that we're not doing that because of what's going on and because of the spread, and you just don't want people handing you things, and, you know, whether it's pictures or pens or books or whatever. I mean that was over a month ago now, so that, I mean, it seems crazy, but I mean, we've been doing that for a while, so I mean, to think about people doing that now in the U.S. to Harden is kind of crazy. I'll have to watch that video, I guess.
Yeah, it's up there. It's on Instagram. I think ESPN might have posted it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's just walking through Walmart, and people are like, here's a basketball, here's a shirt, sign this. And
crazy.
he's got security with him, but I guess he's just out, whatever he's doing, I don't know. But with that in mind, prior to this and prior to the restrictions that you guys placed on yourselves back in California, craziest place you've ever been asked for an autograph? And is there anything in particular that sticks out that has been handed to you that they wanted autographed?
A few things, maybe, like a pair of shoes or something where I feel bad because, like, I mean, if I'm the kid's parent, I don't really want anyone drawing on their shoes. But I mean, I always, I asked to make sure, but I mean, it's pretty normal. The craziest place is always like if it happens in a bathroom, whether you're out and about or you're at a place to eat and like you cross paths with someone in the bathroom, they ask you to sign something. It's kind of weird, but, I mean, all in all, I think the fans in Toronto are pretty respectful. So, I mean, I really don't have anything too exciting to tell you.
With Morgan Riley of the Maple Leafs, so what's your daily routine? We had Spez on with us yesterday, and Jason was saying he's got a really quality setup in his house. He's working out. He's like, he acknowledges he's 36, about to be 37. He's got to keep the edge, so he's working out pretty diligently. What about yourself? What's the workout routine like, and what's going on out there?
I mean, it's been just home workouts, obviously, so that makes it a bit more difficult. But, you know, lots of riding the bike, body weight workouts, and just doing some maintenance stuff. And I think, I mean, there's really no excuse not to do it right now just because we're all at home for so long. So, you know, you wake up and you just try to, you know, create a plan for yourself. I think that's the most important thing right now, because for me it's so easy just to have a coffee or two and just kind of be lazy. But I think if you have a plan and you have an approach that you're trying to take every single day, it helps me anyway just to get my day started with a workout. And, you know, that's oftentimes riding the bike for 30, 40 minutes. And then I do a little core, do a body weight stuff. But, I mean, I'm with Spez. I mean, I like doing that stuff in the morning. I like having a schedule. But, I mean, there's no question that it can be difficult at times. But that being said, we're all in it together. And I think I do what you can to keep your body ready. And, it's important for us right now.
It was obviously a battle for you. You get injured, and then you just come back, and then now you have the pause in the season. Take us through how you felt when you first came back, because I think, you know, the team welcomed you with open arms, and really the team seemed a lot more energized when you got back into the lineup. Basically, take us through it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the injury happened on I believe January 12th, so it was an 8-week process trying to get back from a broken foot. I mean, it was tough for sure. I mean, there were days where you're in a cast, and it's not great being at home and the guys are on the road, and I mean, you're just doing what you can to come back and just try to help the team. And obviously during that time, we had some games that that we can be really proud of, and then we had some games that, you know, weren't our best. So I think that it just motivates you to come back and be a difference maker. So, I mean, when you come back, you play one game, you feel good, you win, and, I mean, we beat a good team in Tampa, and then you go on this pause. I mean, it's not what you want, but that being said, I think if you're going to take a positive out of it, I mean, at least I got one in, because I think I'd be going nuts if I hadn't played since early January. So, it's obviously not ideal, but, I mean, to come back and, you know, to be around the guys again was a great feeling for sure. But the pause is difficult. But I mean, like I said before, we're all dealing with the same thing. Nobody wants to be in a situation, but I think it's important that we all do our part. Stay inside and do what we can to beat this thing so we can get back playing soon.
With Morgan Riley of the Maple Leafs, that you speak for everyone. I mean, we're all hoping you guys can get back and play, whether that's, you know, finishing out the regular season or stepping right into a playoffs. We discuss you guys daily, and in the past few years, you guys have been building and building and building. And this year, I don't think has gone as planned. I think that's safe to say. I'm sure you would agree with me. I mean, you guys are still in a playoff spot, and you're on pace to be in the playoffs, but there's been some struggles. There's been some injury problems. Do you guys feel as a group that the playoffs is a chance to, you know, salvage the season, redeem yourselves, and prove that all the expectations that you've had for yourself were justified, and you can show that come playoff time if and when we get that in?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I think that, you know, if you're a team that has high expectations and you hold yourself to a high standard, you don't want to look back at the year and not be happy with it, and, you know, a team that has the ups and downs that we've had so far. I think you want to be more consistent than we've had been. There's no question about that. And the players are completely aware of that. And I think that, you know, I'm with you. I mean, I want to come back and play, but, you know, we don't know when that's going to be. And obviously we're always going to do what we're told from the, the health professionals. But, you know, if you have an opportunity to play playoffs, you really want to prove people wrong. I mean, there's definitely lots of people that have been hard on our team and rightfully so, given the way that we played at times. But I think that, you know, as players, we really believe in the group we have and, you know, what we've built over the years. And I think that, I mean, if that chance to play comes, I mean, that's a big opportunity for us to come back and do what you said to prove people wrong. And I mean, try to make the most of a situation that isn't great for anyone. But I mean, as a team, I mean, like I said, we really do believe in what we've built. And I mean, that'd be a good chance for us to come back and play some good hockey.
Well, if that happens, you know, I guess it's conceivable we could be seeing you guys play in July or into August. How do you envision that playing out? Like, you'll be showing up to practice in flip-flops and shorts and a tee. I mean, what's that going to – like Scotiabank Arena on August 15th, Game 7, you know, or whatever. What do you think that would be like in the city of Toronto?
I really have no idea. I think that – I'm with you guys in the essence that I don't know what to expect. And if that is what happens, it'll be on us as players to make the most of it and be prepared for that. Because, I mean, we want to play for sure. But, I mean, like I said, we're always going to do what's best. And, you know, if that's what the league decides, then it's on us to be ready. And, I mean, it's certainly going to be strange. But, I mean, just given the opportunity to play again would be worth it for sure. But, I mean, on that note, there's more going on than just hockey. I think we all know that. And that, you know, we're always going to do what we're told. And so, I mean, I think that we just have to stay ready and do our part when it comes to the quarantine and keep ourselves at home and help flatten the curve and beat this thing. And, I mean, we'll deal with the hockey later.
Is there, I mean, being cooped up, it's funny because my routine hasn't changed that much. I'm a bit of a bat and I don't go out that much anyways. So, people don't really, it's funny, people get on me because I haven't changed too much other than just going to the studio. But I do have kind of like a thought process when this is all over, something that you, outside of hockey, we all know we miss hockey, we miss certain things. Is there something that you miss particularly? That you took for granted before this, I guess, self-imposed quarantine?
I mean, yeah, I think that there's lots of things. I think that, I mean, being able to play in Toronto and live downtown, I think you're exposed to you know, a great part of the world that, you know, we get to live in. And I mean, I miss just going for walks downtown. And, I mean, you poke your head into a coffee shop on Queen Street somewhere. I mean, I really enjoy doing that kind of stuff. And, I mean, obviously, being home in Vancouver right now, that's not in the cards. And even right now, if we were in Toronto, we're not supposed to be doing that. So I think you just miss being social with other people and, you know, experiencing downtown Toronto for everything that it is. And, I mean, I'm certainly looking forward to a time where we're able to do that again. And, you know, we're able to go out in groups with your teammates, go for dinner. And I know, Jamie, you certainly miss going for dinner on the road, and I miss doing that stuff too. But
yes, I do.
Yeah, dinner. Yeah. Dinner on the road. Sure.
So all those things that come with, you know, playing a team sport where, like, you get to spend time around your friend every day, being at the rink, you know, practicing. And, you know, there are times over the course of a long season where, you know, practicing is probably one of the last things you want to do, just because of the grind of the season. But I mean, we miss being there, we miss being on the ice together, being at the rink, and I mean, like I said, just kind of traveling around. I mean, we're so lucky to do what we do, and I mean, once you kind of lose track of all those small things that you enjoy along the way, I mean, you really start to appreciate them.
Does everyone more or less work, like, live downtown, or are there a couple of guys, like the older guys maybe with kids, who are living on the outskirts of downtown?
I think mostly the players on the team that are young will be downtown or like in the downtown area, and then the older guys will be kind of on the outskirts or out in Etobicoke by the practice rink.
Right. Well, you know, continued health and safety out there in Vancouver. We look forward to having you back in town. We're hoping you guys can get back on the ice sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And as always, we appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Thanks.
There
Thanks,
he is. Morgan. Morgan Riley from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What up?
Just a quick 20-minute break, a personal break out of the gate.
Yeah.
You missed out on Morgan Riley.
Yeah, well, Klinko the Clown back in the studio there finally figured out what the hell's going on with this Atari machine. So well, thanks to Klinko.
Here's the thing. Maybe you guys should actually turn it on before 3:57 to see if it works today.
Thanks, numbnuts. I did it at 3:30. Thanks. You think I just at 3:59 decided to turn this piece of crap on? 3:40, I called Mullen. I said, what's going on with this hunk of crap?
Yeah.
So I don't need to hear that.
It feels like a personal day that all of a sudden there was some guilt that started to build up around 4:18.
Go ahead, ask Mullen when I called him to turn this piece of crap on.
Why are you the only one in the whole country with issues with the mic?
Okay, call him and then call Keith and then call Steve, the guy that I had to FaceTime to see what's wrong with this piece of crap.
What was Steve up to?
Steve, I don't even hardly know the guy. I have to FaceTime him and look at this machine, and he's telling me buttons to push. I don't even know what I'm doing. Well, so if you guys want to get on with this crap about me not turning this thing on, I'll lose my mind.
We need a Tiger King documentary.
Yeah.
A full-blown 7-episode breakdown.
Call Steve.
All right, I will call Steve.
Yeah, I don't even know his last name.
Is it Eliopoulos? I'm assuming it's Steve. I don't know how he...
I got to bug this guy. He's like, what's up now?
Well...
Did he give you attitude? Like, what's up now? Like, or was it...
No, Malls, get on the microphone, Malls. Where are you?
I'm in the studio.
Yeah, what's the story here, Mullen?
Did I call you at 3:30?
Let me check my phone. 4:37.
What?
He texted me. Or, sorry, 3:37, my bad.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, see?
Plenty of time.
Listen, I'm just teasing. We knew. It's just, you know what the best part about this is? Yeah. Is that it's you, oh. Like, if this was me, it wouldn't be a great
story. No, I know,
but
I love this one. I love this one. Oh, the guy, the engineers are looking at, why isn't he in there at 3 o'clock to figure it out, to see what's wrong with it?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. Yeah,
to be fair, kidding. It's not on your end, though.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. There was not a hitch yesterday. Nothing. Perfect. Yeah. Today doesn't even work, this piece of crap.
Well, I hope your FaceTime went a little bit better than a guy by the name of Tim Close, who's a member of Norwich in the Premier League. I guess he did an Instagram Live or a FaceTime thing like with a bunch of people. And his laptop, he forgot to close his tabs.
Oh, no.
And he had a Pornhub tab up the whole time.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's just all over the internet.
And you know
now.
People have zoomed in on that.
Oh, it's a search engine. Like, he has something specific locked in.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he was like, okay,
like
we'll go
big,
to this
giant website. Juicy asses or something.
There might have been a Kurt Rambis element to his search categories. He was perusing. So yeah, that old Timmy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's all legal. He's a grown adult, and there's nothing creepy going on. That's a reputable website. There's a lot of people around the world, I'm sure, that are clicking on that. But yeah, I guess
are
he did some Instagram
Live. Serge Ibaka's comment. Remember his comment? He was like, "It's really difficult being isolated as a single man." Like, do you think single people are like? I know you're supposed to quarantine and stay home, stay safe, but are people not...
Well, would it be worth it for you? I know, like, I haven't been single for forever, but I don't think it would be worth it. You have no idea. Like, somebody's hitting you up on one of these apps, and they're going to be, oh, no, it's fine. I haven't done anything. And, I mean, people lie all the time. Would you want to risk getting that just to have a little action?
Especially a public figure like that. Like, if Serge, like, they have been told... Don't leave your place. Like, I guarantee you the Raptors have set up, like, food drop-offs, like, once a week. There's probably, you know, remember Chris Boucher a couple weeks ago was spotted at a Shoppers Drug Mart or whatever and got really shamed for it, basically. How dare you leave your place? You're not supposed to do it. Right. So if all of them are supposed to be self-isolating and then out of nowhere, 3 weeks in, Serge Ibaka comes down with something – I'm sure the team's going to be like, where did you go or who did you let in the house?
Right.
So I don't know. But to your answer, non-public figures, I guarantee you they're bypassing regulations. I would assume there's definitely some of them out there.
Everybody probably thinks they got a steady, and it's just that
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have somebody that you have been seeing and kind of trust, then that's a little bit different. But if it's like randoms, like I think, Hayes, didn't you? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago where you, like, apparently Tinder is like a ghost town.
Yeah, it is. We brought that up and people were writing in saying, well, you can't catch a sniff online. Yeah. Like, there, a buddy of mine said it's honestly a wasteland out there. Just tumbleweeds all over Bumble and Tinder because guys are swiping right. I get the impression like women are not swiping right.
Well, how about
guys?
This,
guys will bypass the coronavirus.
Yeah, the guys. Well, some of them I think are going Mission Impossible and thinking they're cute and thinking they're smart. Yes. But I would think maybe in like a condo though. That's where, like, if the whole condo's shut down, that's where it would get interesting. If you're all in there anyway.
Yeah, it's like Olympic Village. Like you're in some area and everyone's locked down. Like a college dorm type of thing. Did you see those idiots, the spring breakers? Did you see that stat came out today? Out of Utah, there were 78 people from one area that went down for spring break. 40 of them tested positive. Just morons.
Yeah,
absolute morons.
They all got hit. I saw a bunch in Texas, a bunch in Florida. Like, there was a map of all the spring breakers. You know, they highlighted where they all flew to. And Florida is like the epicenter of spring break. And they just flew all over the country, all over the world. You know, there's a bunch of Canadians that would have been down there too.
Yeah.
And anyway, so thanks to Morgan Riley. And we got the O-Dog back, so we'll get into a number of stories throughout the sports world that have come in today. Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. Danny Woodhead on the show in the 6 p.m. hour. We're looking forward to that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Great segment.
Thank you. All right, thanks again to Morgan Riley for joining us earlier in the hour. Danny Woodhead coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. Danny was a member of the New England Patriots, played in the 2011 Super Bowl when they lost for a second time against the Giants, and teammate of Brady's, and obviously was coached by Belichick. So we'll get into a number of things with Danny. And the news is out there today. I guess Brady is moving into Derek Jeter's Tampa mansion.
Think he's going to be all right?
Call that?
You think he's going to be all right? Struggle along with that house?
I think
what?
He'll be fine. The details on it, like the rap sheet, is pretty impressive.
I get it. Like, if you're rich and you want to have a big house, but you guys both have houses. How many rooms do you actually go in? You go in the bedroom, the living room, and Hayes, you might go in the basement to watch a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell? I don't care how much money you have. There's just that house I had in Carolina. I was like, you know what? It's the hockey thing to do. I got to buy a big house in a neighborhood. I bought that house. I went in two rooms, kitchen, living room, bed. It's like, what do you need that for?
Now, listen, would it be a little bit different with when you had the wife and kids? You know,
Jamie,
I mean?
You got a big enough house as it is. There's probably rooms you don't go in.
I think I use the house quite, like, the way I built it, it's very functional. I use every room in the house. The only one that we don't is we have a little guest, we call it grandma's room. And now what I've done is I've created a little DVD area for my daughter to watch. She can go watch a movie, like a treat herself, go watch a movie in grandma's room. Other than that, honest to God, I use every room in the house. Like, I have my office, I use my basement, gym.
Yours is pretty open concept.
Yes, I have a very open concept.
It's not like three wings or four wings or something.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Three wings, four wings. It's like, come on, dude.
It's
totally
unnecessary.
I don't care how many kids you have.
Yeah.
It's totally unnecessary, and it's just... But I guess when you have that much money, who really cares?
Well, and that's it. If Giselle and the kids are coming down or whatever, Brady's not going to live in a shack, but he probably connected with Jeter, or Jeter reached out to him and said, hey, if you're moving down, I got the place. It's just sitting there. I've moved down to Miami, or I'm in either New York or Miami. If you're Jeter, if you want it, go ahead. You know, and I'm sure Brady's like, all right, why not? You know, I'll set up shop.
What do you think the rent is on that baby?
I don't know, but I hope. What if there's a scavenger hunt? Like, what if Jeter reaches out and goes, dude, my Rolodex is somewhere in that house.
Yeah. There's a pair of underpants underneath someone's bed, and I can't remember which one.
Well, that's why I wonder if Giselle's like, I don't want to be in here. Like, the ghost of Jeter is in there, and like, is it going to take over Brady's soul?
You take a CSI blue light to that house.
The Jeter mansion in Tampa.
Jesus. Yeah. Imagine Brady starts morphing into Jeter-type tactics.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he wakes up.
Giselle, and... before you go to work, can I speak to you upstairs for a second? We have to discuss something.
Oh, yeah. Like, that would be my concern if I was Giselle, that the, you know, the ghost of Jeter's past is still just lurking.
Imagine the knocks
mansion.
On the door, just one after the other.
Yeah.
Is Derek home? Is Derek home?
Yeah. No, it's Tom now. Although I'll bet you there'd be a few ladies that wouldn't mind that door swinging open.
Are you kidding me?
And
if Tom Brady was single the last 10 years, he would blow everyone's Rolodex out of the water, no question.
I don't think he matches Jeter.
What?
I don't think he matches Jeter.
He would have blown Jeter out of the water.
Don't be stupid. He doesn't, because the Yankees are bigger. The Yankees
in
New York.
You're not being stupid.
I'm not being stupid.
He's the quarterback of the Patriots.
Doesn't matter.
Won six Super Bowls, and he looks like a supermodel.
Jeter's,
how could his Rolodex not be better?
Jeter's the captain of the most famous sports brand in the United States, the New York Yankees. Walking around in pinstripes. He's got five World Series.
Thanks. Just answer this question, and I'll end it with case closed. We're dudes talking about dudes, but who's better looking?
Jeter.
You're nuts. You're nuts.
Brady's a better looking guy, but
dude,
Brady's
a supermodel.
Here's the thing. Brady's a nerd, though. Brady's more of a nerd. Jeter's got
really?
A cool effect.
Brady's
to him.
A nerd.
Yes.
Do I gotta go through some pics on the internet and send them to you and say, you're telling me that guy's a nerd?
Brady's a nerd. Brady's more nerdy. He's not a complete nerd. He's a jock or whatever, but he's like, Jeter's got a cool effect to him. Jeter's like Jordan in many ways. Brady's like LeBron.
You're being...
Rappler
put out a poll. If it was heyday time, both were in their prime, and both single, who has a better Rolodex? Tom Brady or Derek Jeter?
Okay,
Case closed.
I'm going to interject. I think Brady is much more image conscious, and I think that's where Brian is saying, like, Brady probably could have had that Rolodex, but he doesn't want people knowing his business, where I think Jeter was
but Jamie, he was
the hell with it. No, I get it, but I'm saying...
If Brady was single running amok... He wouldn't care either.
Yeah, but the market matters, man. The number one bachelor in New York, there's nothing else in the world to compare to it. Nothing. Boston can't. Are you kidding me? Boston? Yeah. No
way.
He
could fly into work in Boston. He could live in New York.
Yeah.
He doesn't, though. He lives in the middle of nowhere in Boston.
But what I'm saying I think Jeter had no problem being on Page Six every week going,
don't think he minded it. He's more private than you think, Noodles. Like, he hated the talking with the media. He wasn't a guy that was willing to get into his personal life. A-Rod loves Page Six. Like, A-Rod adores being on Page Six. I don't think Jeter was all about that. Jeter was quieter, man. Jeter, like, we've heard some stories and read some stories where it was, you know, he'd sneak in the back door, and then he'd send someone out like, hey, Jeter's in the back. Do you want to come hang out for a drink? He wasn't cruising in the front.
No, I get that, but
we'll figure this out by the end of the show. The poll's up, and whatever the poll result is at the end of the show, that's what I'll live by.
Isn't there a diamond, like an actual picture of a baseball field where they fill out the roster with some of the women that he's dated?
It's the most it's a generational Rolodex.
It's egregious.
It's Jordan wrapped into Gretzky, wrapped into...
Yeah, and guess what Brady's outfield would look like if he was single?
I'm telling you, man, we know it with Jeter. Like, we've seen, like, Jeter, it's happened. I have tangible evidence. We'll run through the diamond. It's untouchable. It's the greatest Rolodex in sports history. And Brady, listen, Giselle, Bridget Moynihan, Brady, I'm not saying Brady would be sitting around, you know, swiping right and waiting for people to get back to him, but not Jeter.
Brady,
not Jeter, not
Brady.
New York Yankees.
Brady would be lying on a lawn chair being fed grapes by supermodels.
No,
you moron. I mean,
he would.
Well, listen, Giselle
Mariah Carey would not make his list.
Yeah, Mariah Carey. I don't even know if she's on.
I think she's on.
She is. Tyra Banks wouldn't be on. Brady's
dude,
list.
Are you crazy? Like, are you having connection issues? Tyra Banks.
Comment again about the connections. I'll make connections.
Tyra Banks. All right, we got to go here. Ray Ferraro in about 25 minutes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Being fed grapes. on a lawn chair.
You have lost all credibility with that last comment. Your scouting reports are
deplorable. You're out of line. You're out of line.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Glory, Gloria!
The Overdrive Madness Bracket.
This guy's such an idiot here.
The bracket brought to you by Maple Toyota, reminding everyone that we all bleed the Maple Leaf. It's the strength and compassion we share as a community that has and will get us through anything. MapleToyota.com. So we're on to the round of 32. We have already chopped the bracket in half. So we're going to continue to roll out four battles a day, two in the Constipator region, two in Al's Brothers Farmers region. And we'll keep cooking here because we've got a lot of great feedback. All these clips have basically made us laugh, and we love them.
Yeah.
So you guys ready to move on to the round of 32?
Let's go. Yes.
Okay, here we go. Starting in Al's Brothers Farmer Region, the number one seed.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
So, obviously, a great clip. Number one seed cruising through the first round. I think it's going to be in pretty easily into the Sweet 16, personally. I think we'd all agree that deserves to be in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but I agree.
It's up against the Paul Bear, and when the Paul Bear shows up, maybe the wrestling crowd is going to affect this vote. So, let's hear the 16 seed in the Al's Brothers Farmer Region.
Undertaker, the true Undertaker, will destroy you. Oh, yeah!
That's such a great clip.
That is going to win.
You think?
Wow. Oh, I don't know. Not like I think Farley wins, but it's sad because, like, all I can see is Ken Hitchcock's face.
Give me the Undertaker one more time. Give me the Undertaker.
Undertaker, the true Undertaker, will destroy you. Oh, yeah!
The Paul Bear, I love it. So that's a good matchup, man, in the round of 32. Like, we're talking heater after heater after heater. There are really no weak links. That's a tough one. And this next battle ongoing online right now at Overdrive1050 on Twitter, at TSN1050 on Instagram, is, again, two Hall of Fame clips. Two Hall of Famers. Let's begin with the 8 seed.
In the case of Lion Ted Cruz, Lion Ted lies. Oh, he lies.
So that's the 8 seed going up against this classic, the 9 seed.
You know, back in the day, obviously, they're telling stories there, and it was funny. And I was out late one night, I guess, and I got up and went to the rink. It was a game day, and I went home and had pea soup and a tuna fish sandwich, and that night I had 6 assists, so you guys figure that one out.
Dougie Gilmore, pea soup and a tuna sandy, and half a dozen assists that night. So those are two battles,
the game,
man.
Dallas Stars.
Yep.
Was it Dallas?
Right.
Okay.
Down at
Dallas.
The Gardens.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Down at the Gardens the night before. Just taking a peek to see what's going on out there. And Dougie made sure he was ready to rock the next night because he performed.
We got to find out where he went, like what place he went to. Or was it like a covert mission?
Well, that's the thing. Like when you hear about the old stories of the Leafs, like we know the Madison Avenue Pub was a huge spot for a lot of players. Which
really?
Is kind of like, well, that's what I heard. Like back in the 80s and 90s, like I think Wendell lived on Madison Avenue, and I think there were a couple of, I think him and Todd Gill had a spot. So they were basically like U of T students, only they played for the Leafs. You know, like it's basically a college hub,
legends.
A university hub. Yeah. And the Gardens, right, was kind of in the middle of the city. Like we had Morgan Riley on earlier in the hour, and he said, you know, he misses just being downtown. And being around the rink, and he mentioned like popping into a coffee shop on Queen West and meeting a couple of the boys, and they're like right downtown. But I don't know if that was the case back in the 80s and 90s when you were playing at the Gardens. I don't know if you were south of the Gardens or you just kind of hung around like College and Bloor. And
we got to get Dougie on next week and see where the boys used to hang out.
Yeah, Yeah,
well,
we do.
I think, honest to God, Hayes, I think it is that, it's that.
The Maddie.
Madison? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there. Like, man, oh, man, that place used to roll.
Yes. Like, it roll. Is there, a it was great spot.
Inside and outside, right? Was there an up, like, it was, like I remember sitting at a picnic table or something. Was there a picnic table?
It's two Victorian hotels. They're houses. In fact, they were hotels. It was the Madison Avenue Hotel, I believe. And there's two, like, Victorian houses that they've turned into bars, and you know there's patios outside. There's a piano room. There's a bunch of, like, it's huge. Like, it's a massive spot. I don't know what the capacity would be at the Maddie, but I would think, you know, a fair amount, like thousands of people could be in there at the same time.
I never went there.
You've never been to the Maddie?
No, maybe once. I don't know, because the King City Boys, we were like country bumpkins.
Yeah,
and it
yes,
was like when
waste.
We made the trip to the city, it was like the Big Easy or some right. other dumb place that we had to get down to.
Was there a bar that had a, like, was that a bank? Like, it was an old bank or something like that? We had a rookie dinner.
That might have been the Big Easy.
Man, oh, man. My goalie partner got carried out of there one night. Like Weekend at Bernie's type of carried. Like, it was
really
Roman Turek had himself a night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was talking randomly. I was on a Zoom FaceTime the other day with a Pronger and a few people, and we were laughing about the story. He's like, you remember that night in Toronto where we called him Large, Roman Turek? This guy could put some back, and he put an absolute clinic on. Like, I'd never, and he's like 6'5", like a large, large man. He put a clinic on, and then we barely got him home that night. I think we were at, it was like a bank. Like, it was like an old bank or something.
Yeah,
was,
I don't remember that. Like, was it right downtown or?
Yeah, I mean, we had kind of a rookie dinner / night out, and things went sideways pretty quick.
Yeah. But, the thing is, there's so much turnover with bars and clubs. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, any bar that's been around for more than, like, 10 years, you feel like it has character.
Yeah, agreed.
Croc Rock, R.I.P.
R.I.P. the Croc Rock. One of the oldest bars in the city was the Brunswick House, and the Brunny shut down years ago, and they just put up like a Rexall drugstore in there.
There's a legend or a myth that no matter what movie star, hockey player, you were not outwheeling a fireman on Wednesday nights at
Croc Rock. Yeah, impossible. Yeah, 9/11 night, and it was basically
the
firefighters. 9/11 night, and it was like firefighters, cops, like paramedics, like basically an industry night for the like first responders or whatever. And if you went in there at midnight and there was like a fire chief on the floor, sparks were coming off the dance floor, and no one, Jeter, Brady, no one could get in his way from owning that floor and owning that bar.
The D floor was backdraft.
Yeah. It was, and it was playing like, you know, Mellencamp. You know, it was 80s. Like, you went in there, guys.
There
had,
was
like,
no hockey cards that were wheeling and dealing. It was all badges.
Yeah. You had to have tin. You pull your tin out at the bar, it is on like Donkey Kong.
It
all
was
right, Ray Ferraro in the next
remover.
Hour. Danny Woodhead coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. And Dregs will join us later this afternoon as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.